On the Powers That Be podcast, we examine the players and currents behind today's most consequential decisions. Join us. Listen to the Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.
It is a Bruins Thursday. That means Mike Milbury will join us at 9, and we will talk Bruins with Mike Milbury. And the suggestion being made by some that this team got better without Brad Marchand, and so we'll talk to Mike Milbury about that.
Did I miss something?
What do you mean?
They got better?
Well, that's what some are suggesting.
When they send their second best points leader?
That is what some are suggesting.
Man, that's cap.
Is that cap?
All that is like, listen, we're in the moment. It's like when they fired Montgomery. It's like, oh, yeah, this team got better when they got rid of Montgomery.
All right, well, we'll talk to Mike Milbury about that coming up at 9. We will get to They Said It in just a little bit. 7:20, quick back and forth on what they said yesterday, including what Jaylen Brown said post-game last night about a less than playoff MVP-like performance. In the Twitch chat this morning, you can always watch this show on Twitch or on YouTube, a suggestion that Wiggy is full of it because Texter says Celtics missed 43 three-point attempts last night, 43 of them.
I know.
And Wiggy declares Joe Mazzulla to be the best coach in the NBA. He's a phony.
I just told you, my knock on Mazzulla is that he allows those guys to take that many threes. Like Tatum, when you look at SGA, SGA averages about 5 three-pointers a game. Tatum averages 10. I would say, Tatum, listen, I know you like to shoot from the three-point line, but I want you somewhere around 7. I would limit his three-point shots. But Mazzulla,
you think you can say that to Jason Tatum?
Not now, because Mazzulla has basically said.
Not now, when?
Well, you know why? Not now, because he has basically told his team that the way we win it, and granted, it is part of how they won a championship, is because they shoot the three ball. So it's almost like, even though it bothers me, it's how they were able to win a championship.
Don't you agree that it's not even Mazzulla? That's the analytics department. That it's not Mazzulla's decision. It's they believe that shooting threes is the most effective way.
Yeah.
Because you're going to get in the numbers crunched down to the fact that you'll end up with more points.
I agree, Curtis,
they shot 63 of them last night.
But
it's obscene. 50. It's a horrible product when you just chuck it up threes. It's like, you know, Rex Chapman from half court.
But that they average 50, like they're averaging like 40-50 three-pointers a game. And that's why the lead that I had a while ago was eliminate the three-point shot until the last 2 minutes of the first half. And if you want to say the final five or final four, what they do in the NBA the fourth quarter.
Then you can't take them at all.
No, mean nothing through the first, you know, 2 minutes of the first half, and then they mean nothing until the final four minutes of the fourth quarter.
I mean, watching Celtic City, don't you get sentimental a little bit about the when the game was get the ball down low and power your way into the hoop
and the underhand free throws
and underhand free throws? Yeah. All right, we have leads left. Jackson, good morning.
Good morning, Greg. I have a robot lead for you. I know this is going to terrify you, but this is a robot that I can welcome. And I think Mitch has the video and the article up on Twitch. So it's a company in Norway called 1X, and they recently unveiled Neo Gamma. It's a robot butler, that like Rosie from the Jetsons, pretty much. It can vacuum, it can do laundry, it can pick up trash, it can do dishes, and it can actually serve tea. And the thing about it is they worked with a sewing company to make it look more human. They created a soft and smooth suit that conceals the robot's metallic body.
Oh, yeah.
This is a robot I can get behind. Something that does house chores. It's terrifying looking, but it's kind of cool, too.
How much is that puppy?
I think it was like $9,000, but, a couple of years, it'll go down. Just
wow,
like
$9,000, that's it? I thought you were going to say like $90,000.
You want one?
No.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean.
See, once you let him into your house, we're done. so as human society has done. If you can be asleep and that thing, what's the name of that thing?
Neo Gamma.
Neo Gamma gets bothered by something and you're sound asleep and walks in with his robot claw and rips your jugular out. No, thank you.
That is a possibility.
The creepy thing in the video is, like, after he's done with all his house chores, he goes in the other room and sits on the couch alone while the couple's, like, eating dinner. It's creepy, but I would love that. A robot to do house chores. I hate vacuuming.
Well,
Curtis, you get one of those little robot vacuum machines.
Yeah, but those never work right.
Mine works great.
Really?
Curtis, would you ever replace your current butler with a robot butler?
That's a great question. No. I love Francis too much.
All right. Thank you, Jackson.
You're welcome.
Curtis, good morning.
Good morning. So I, like many of the observers of the Patriots, have been heartened that they have spent money. The Milton Williams signing is the one that was a standalone outlier, second highest paid Patriot of all time, all good. But the Patriots this morning, on the first full day of the NFL league year, have done the bare minimum to be compliant with the collective bargaining agreement when it comes to spending over a 3 to 5 year span. Now is when we see what their intentions are with this organization going forward. Shime hit on it in his lead. With the availability of Cooper Kupp, the fact that he's available in the first place, to me, is a miss. Wait, Shime is correct. They should have just traded for him. But you cannot tell me that you're going to spend $30 million a year for Godwin and then sit back and say you'll just see what the draft presents to you now to fill your two biggest needs. What the organization has the ability to do is get a good to great receiver in Cooper Kupp, draft a couple guys, and take your left tackle at 4 and move on in that direction. Or acquire a tackle now and get a receiver early in the draft, however you see fit. But the one thing they can do today is trade for A.J. Brown. And that would instantly legitimize the organization and present them to be a playoff likely contender next year. So don't lose sight of the fact that, yes, they have spent, which is good. They deserve praise for doing that. But don't allow them to sit back today and say their job's done. It's really just started.
Okay. Yeah. Big day today when it comes to the New England Patriots and their future. And Curtis is right. And we will let you know here immediately should anything happen. And hopefully it does. Wiggy, good morning.
All right, good morning. So, Curtis, I like that lead. I would say that don't really get disparaged if they don't do anything, because this goes back to my other point where I see something big up their sleeve, because Curtis is right. If you're willing to give Chris Godwin $30 million, there's no way that you're going, all right, Cooper Kupp's our guy. There's got to be something, and that shoe might drop as we get closer to the draft, whether I heard Jones and Keith talking about this, whether it's pick swap, where you swap your pick with the Eagles, they go from 32 to 4, and they give you A.J. Brown. So don't be – there's something more coming. So, Curtis, great lead. I just wanted to kind of piggyback off that.
Yep.
But my other lead real quick is, listen, the Celtics have 16 games left. Their next seven or eight are on the road, and they're against teams that not really chasing a playoff spot other than, I believe, Memphis, who's in there, maybe the Miami Heat, who's still chasing that stupid, play-in seed. But there's 16 games left. I know last night was a frustrating loss for our Celtics fans. I would say this, be patient. Don't worry. 16 games, get to the postseason, and that's when it'll be really time to see what the Celtics team's all about. And when they get there, I think they are going to be on a whole nother level. The obsession of repeating, I think, is going to be major for this team, and I think you're going to see a completely different team in the postseason when it comes to hawking up threes.
That team includes a healthy Porzingis?
I'm hoping. He was there last night. Like, so whatever illness he got, clearly it's not something that is contagious, because he was there last night. He was on the bench. So I don't know what it is, but I'm guessing, maybe they're just holding on to him until the postseason.
Okay,
great. Can you confirm something for me?
Yes.
I know that WEI Afternoons was at Scores. I believe Ken was there. When Ken found out Porzingis was going to the Garden, did he immediately leave Boston?
I don't know if he's concerned about the viral stuff
or not.
As used to be. All right, Wiggy.
It is not hard to destroy a college. Last season, the podcast Campus Files brought you stories of fraternity drug rings, stolen body parts, campus cults, and more.
And now, Campus Files is back for another season.
There's a guy screaming into his phone. He's like, I just saw Charlie Kirk get assassinated right in front of me.
Every week is a new episode and a new story.
It was so chaotic. It's almost like a university under siege.
Listen to and follow Campus Files, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Thank you.
You got it, brother.
We now know who the four finalists are when it comes to the next owner of the Boston Celtics. You're talking about, Wiggy. So this report today comes from Sportico. And there are four groups that remain. The Friedkin Group. Only one of these groups has any kind of local tie whatsoever. So the Friedkin Group, Philadelphia, a group headed by Philadelphia Phillies minority owner Stan Middleman, and a Symphony Technology Group. Their managing partner is William Chisholm. He's a mortgage, made his money running a mortgage company. And, of course, Steve Pagliuca, who is a minority owner of the Boston Celtics. So it looks like that the bidding when it comes to the price of the Boston Celtics may be close to $6 billion.
All right.
If they can get these four to go up, they're all around currently around $5.5 billion. And one of them will be chosen as the new owner of the Boston Celtics sooner than later. I don't know if there's, you know, no disrespect to the Cocoa Bomb, but Fenway Sports Group, not a part of this.
So it's a Chisholm guy.
Yeah.
Pagliuca.
Yep.
A realtor dude.
There's a California hedge fund guy that's in there, and the minority owner, Philadelphia Phillies minority owner, Stan Middleman.
Right. So, wait, so no Bezos?
No Bezos.
Yeah.
Does it matter to what?
I don't want to be. I love Courtney. You know that. But yes, so yes. Did she have any of those?
I don't.
No.
I don't think so. I don't think so.
Can we all agree now if it said Sam Kennedy, it didn't mean Sam Kennedy?
No, it did not. It did not.
Like he doesn't.
Yeah. That was a Cocoa Bomb.
Yeah.
Well,
lucky for her, she's on the airplane.
She's on the plane right now, yes. It's good for her. So
is that confirmed or is that just sourced?
this is confirmed.
Okay, good.
Does it matter to you? Like, are you rooting for Steve Pagliuca because he's somebody who's familiar with the team and a local guy?
No, not really.
Do you like the perspective of somebody coming in who hasn't been a part of it?
And I don't care. For me personally, I think that whoever's going to purchase this team is buying it knowing that, okay, it's a great investment and they're going to do everything in their power to continue with Wick Grosbeck and that ownership group has created. So, I mean, yeah, if it's Pagliuca and those guys, great, because then it's a familiar face.
If it's one of the other money bag guys, carpetbagger from out of town, issues with it. Don't care about
that. Because
here's what I would like, Greg. I would like to have one of the out of town guys buy it, you know, use their cash, and then just say, Rob Hale, thank you for your investment. You're our point person like Wick was.
Yeah. Well, I think, I mean, Rob Hale kind of indicated that he would be a part of some of these groups. Did he not on the show?
Well, he said he'd be willing to be a part if they wanted to ask him or whatever.
And I think they will because you need a lot of money to get the deal done.
Oh, yeah. And I like the real estate dude because maybe he's going to know, like, all right, we're going to need a new arena.
Yeah.
So he might come into it, you know, with a little bit of that type of knowledge.
I was told, I don't know how accurate this is, but when it comes to the purchase price of $5.5 billion, the NBA makes you come up with $5 billion of that liquid. Like you can, on the financing side of things, you can only finance $500 million of it. So you have to be a group that has the $5 billion available.
Wow,
which is wild.
That is
when
wild.
You think about it.
I thought it was only you only needed like the $500 million, and then we'll finance the $5 billion.
Yeah. Can you like use Bitcoin?
Probably. Wow. It's not like buying a boat, Wiggy. Like you can't put $10 down and then finance it for 100 years. Oof. It's the Boston Celtics.
Well, they're basically saying we need $5 billion.
All right, those are our leads this morning. We will get to they said it next. A quick back and forth on what they said yesterday in sports. And with Courtney out, here is Shime with what is trending right now.
Your home of the Sox. Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now, brought to you by Cape Cod Lumber. The Celtics fell to the Thunder last night, 118-112, in a game they attempted 63 three-pointers. They'll look to rebound tomorrow night in Miami against the Heat. Red Sox beat the Twins last night, 6-5. They have their spring breakout tonight at 7, which you can listen to right here on WEEI and across the Shaw's and Star Market. WEEI, Red Sox Radio Network. Shaw's, perfecting the art of fresh. The Bruins are in Ottawa to take on the Senators tonight. Puck drop for that is at 7. In NFL news, Aaron Rodgers is officially a free agent. Seems like the Steelers and Giants are the top two contenders for his services. Cooper Kupp, also now a free agent, as the Rams released him yesterday. Greg's guy, Mac Jones, has a job again, signing a 2-year, $7 million deal with the 49ers. Dietrich Wise and Jonathan Jones have both left the Patriots. They've signed deals with the Washington Commanders. And
Mac Island is now out there with Alcatraz in the San Francisco area, correct?
That seems apropos.
Okay.
All by himself on Alcatraz Island.
Okay.
And Mac Jones is going to have many things he can bitch about, but his coaches cannot be one of them. He will have played for Bill Belichick, Josh McDaniels, and now the best offensive mind of this generation in Kyle Shanahan. If he sucks, he really sucks.
Yeah, but I think we all know he really sucks. What's quarterback?
Kyle Shanahan doesn't think so.
No, but what's their starting quarterback?
Purdy.
Brock Purdy. Are they going to give him the $200 million contract? So you might see Mac play out there.
Yeah, maybe.
They've also sold off a ton of parts, so maybe they're getting ready to lose this season in order to draft high next year. Who knows? And the Players' Championship at TPC Sawgrass starts today. First tee times are set for 7:40 this morning. Reigning champion Scottie Scheffler tees off at 1:29 this afternoon alongside Xander Schauffele and Rory McIlroy. Trending now was brought to you by Cape Cod Lumber. It's never too early to start planning for your new deck and rail system from TimberTech. TimberTech is the number one premium advanced PVC and composite decking that captures the beauty of real wood. Visit CCL in Abington today to see a huge selection of TimberTech products. Or check us out online at cclco.com. That's what's trending. Here's Curtis with your weather.
Thank you, Shime. 34 degrees, cloudy in Boston, afternoon high in the mid-40s.
They said it next, and then Shime has the news in Courtney's absence at 7:45. And he is insisting on a nerd alert during the news. Nerds in the news. One of the all-time great... You are suggesting one of the all-time great nerdgasms caught on film? Is that
live
correct?
On candid camera, baby.
Okay, all right. So
what
we'll
a
get,
tease.
We'll get to the news coming up at 7:45.
How We Made Your Mother is a rewatch podcast that looks back episode by episode at the hit TV show How I Met Your Mother. It's hosted by me, Josh Radner, along with series co-creator and my friend Craig Thomas.
Follow How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.